Welcome to Down to Brass Stats. Today is the 20th of February 2020. We have a long day ahead. We're going until 1 p.m. We look forward to hearing your calls. The number to call, 434-1790. Or if you want to WhatsApp, that would be 266-4862. A lot is going on in Barbados and in the region and across the globe. So we ask that you share your thoughts, call us, and WhatsApp us today. Down to Brass Stats.
Good morning, Miss Lisa.
Hi, good morning.
How are you this morning? I hope, at least I will hope that we can discuss a little American politics from this morning. I ain't going to be long.
It's always good to hope.
Yeah, hope is good.
It's always good to hope.
Listen, you can tell me why the Democrats running Joe Biden and Mike Bloomberg as to be president when they are not bona fide Democrats. You can give me an explanation for that?
The very word you just used, Democrat. It is a democratic process. So whoever chooses to put themselves forward and they meet the criteria, then they can go forward. That's the good thing about American politics.
To be honest, I really don't like him, though.
But why? What is wrong with Bloomberg and what is wrong with Biden?
Honestly, it's why I don't like Biden. Biden is a one-sided, in my opinion, Biden is one-sided.
One-sided towards who?
Towards himself. Like, if he can't get it, nobody can't get it. You can remember what he did with Hillary last election? I can't forget that.
It's interesting. It is. I like to hear people, you know, pontify on American politics. People from outside of America.
The last election, Hillary could have won. We wouldn't be in this pearl that we're in now.
It probably wasn't her time.
He people not to vote for Hillary.
That's interesting. Interesting perspective. What about Bloomberg? Philanthropist. So many different things about him. What about him you don't like? Or why do you think he should not be running? Or you're another set of Democrats?
This research thing mostly affected black people and different Caucasians, not the white match.
Say that again. You're not for him because black. What?
You know, he had a research with large of black researcher and then put in jail. You got me? Somewhere had a research.
That's your reason for not liking him?
Yes, but what should he just pick out a particular people to do them things with?
So you think he discriminates and therefore he should not be in the race?
Should not be in the race. Plus the other thing there with the rape things that went on in his office, and he's saying that consent and this and that. People should be honest.
Well, you know they bring up dirt on every single person, though. You know that.
Yeah, I know that, but if you don't have dirt, they can't bring dirt by you.
So who is your preferred candidate?
My preferred candidate is Pete. I love Pete.
And he doesn't have any dirt. He's perfect.
He loves that. I like the way he speaks, and I like the policies and things that he comes with.
Well, that's the beauty of having an opinion. You like people because they appeal to your interests, basically. I'm sure there would be a number of other persons who would say why they prefer another candidate for that matter, and they would give you all the reasons why, justifying so. But
to be honest, Lisa, I can't take Bernie at all. But
I'm surprised you didn't mention him, because you said there are two who you think shouldn't be in the race.
I said Bernie, and I said Joe Biden. You know?
Oh, it was Bernie you said?
And there's Mike Bloomberg. No.
But you started out by saying that they were not bona fide Democrats. But many people argue that Trump was not a Republican either.
Because they claim that Trump gave Hillary a lot of money too.
So based on all of your observations on what's happening abroad, what are your thoughts? We just had a whole heads of government, not just the caucus, but we had a meeting. They said this was one of the better meetings in the history of the meetings. Of the CARICOM ministers, heads, not just ministers, but CARICOM heads. What do you think of what's going on? And even if you don't want to be so far regional, let's come home. What's going on in local politics that you can comment on and you're excited about?
Honestly, to be honest, I like how things are going in this country That's my opinion, because I know you can get views. My opinion is that how things are going in this country. Like how my prime minister is running this country. Mm-hmm. And I like the critics to come in and talk the foolishness. Like what,
don't call it foolishness. People will have preferences based on their interests. Yes, so don't call it foolishness.
Right, but to me it's foolishness, but I wouldn't call it foolishness.
That's like saying, okay, I hear you. So you think locally the leadership is good, and you think what's going on is good. What about regionally? Have you been looking at what's happening? You know, there's some elections coming up in some of the countries. What were your thoughts on what's going on regionally?
But honestly, too, I like this meeting, though it's not that hard. Mm-hmm. I like how Prime Minister Raleigh from Trinidad, mm-hmm. and our Prime Minister, you know, got the fishing agreement finished.
You sure it's finished?
Prime Minister Raleigh don't call up. Okay. We're all in an easy one,
it's now for the operationalization of these policies and these agreements that have been made at the level of the heads. It is now for the operationalization of it.
You feel that it was a slap in the face that the wholeness didn't come for this caucus?
He probably wasn't available.
That's what the foreign minister said. But the
Prime Minister of Canada wasn't available either. He had local interests to deal with. So why would we assume...
Mulroney wore that whole list.
So you're looking at people's intention more than...
Of course.
That's not very fair.
But we didn't Pompeius was in Jamaica.
But that was on a matter of principle. They argued that either all or none.
On a matter of principle, you are scratching my back, I am scratching yours.
Well, that's another perspective. It's very, very possible that he could have been in the back of his mind, you know, like one quarter in the mind said, she didn't come to my meeting, so I'm going to. But it's not her meeting, by the way. She happens to be chair for the first 6 months of the year, but it is the meeting. Is the meeting of the heads.
Okay, but listen, I had a little rama, so you can get some boys' peace.
Hey, thanks for calling and sharing your views. It's good to keep looking at what's going on in politics, because the leaders make some decisions that impact on our everyday lives. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Lisa. A couple of things here. The last time you was on the program, I listened to you. I think you had Dr. Clay Master there on the program, if I'm not wrong. And he was speaking about the truth and a fact said opinion, and he went on to say that opinion is not a fact. A fact is a fact, basic truth. So today, I want to continue along the vein of speaking the truth. Mm-hmm. He went on to describe to you that the government of Barbados now, on the leadership of the Honorable Mia and Moore Motley, they are preparing a good backing wicket for the private sector to come and back on and to perform on and make a lot of runs. He told you that the batsman could hook, they could pull, and they could stroke the ball through mid off and mid on. It was very pretty for the study. But let's look at the scenario here, Miss Gay. You have a team that Australia is going to be the best in to play a 3 test match series. And they played the first test match at Kensington Oval. Mm-hmm. And they are prepared very good by wicket down there. Australia won the toss and decided to get first, not a score 600 and somebody runs. Private wicket declare. The best thing went on.
This is a hypothetical situation, or this took
place? Concerning what Dr. Master is saying.
Oh, okay. Understood.
Right.
We're clear.
The best thing went on, and they get both for two a little bit in the first innings, and then they were forced to fall on and get both for not two of somebody. Australia went on to win the test match by 100 somebody runs. But in this innings, in this best innings, there's one batsman in particular that saw a century in both innings. Now, that batsman will represent the tourism factor, the tourism industry. So this is the problem. You could prepare a good back of the wicket, and if you are not performing well, you are like the best in this team. My thing to you, as the private sector start to perform the way that we think it should, I am not seeing that excitement yet. I am hearing a lot of the private sector people talking about these new projects, and how excited it's going to be, and these foreign investors are coming to Barbados, et cetera, et cetera. But so far to date, I am not getting that excitement. So can you tell me what is that the private sector are doing though, right now in trying to get this foreign exchange that we so badly needed?
Interesting perspective and interesting analogy. I think, as I said, at that same discussion last, which is 2 weeks ago, there was a wide cross-section of persons from the business community representing the private sector and a couple other entities, not just hardcore private sector. And you're asking the question what they are doing. They are continuing to invest in Barbados and its people, investing in whether it is through employment by the running of their businesses in various services, not just tourism. Because I would actually argue that the majority of persons in our room were not limited to tourism. They were falling in other categories. Let me just put it that way, whether it's be manufacturing or retail and distribution, financial services and the others. And I think we kind of downplay the value that the private sector plays to Barbados. And I do agree with you. You haven't said it, but I know where you're going. This type of sluggish private sector reality that we have in Barbados, I think that's where you want to go. But I would also argue that the private sector of Barbados, which is a very heterogeneous group. So I'm private sector. And then Massey is private sector. Starcom is private sector.
Yeah.
The beach vendors are private. Private sector is
right.
Is anyone right. Who's not government, and not civil society. So people who trade, you're asking the question what they're doing. They're running their businesses.
Uh-huh.
They're feeding the people who work for them. Mm. They're playing their trade. A couple of them, if that's what you're saying, are benefiting significantly. Or if you're trying to say that you don't see the initiative from private sector as you want. And I think a lot of it has to do with cultural mores or cultural norms in Barbados, where government sets the policy and the private sector then follows. Very different from sometimes the Trinidad market or even the US, where a lot of the business people do their own thing. Then that drives government to then sometimes change policy to accommodate the same business community. We don't have a Wall Street in Barbados. We don't have some of the players that some of these other entities have external to Barbados. And therefore, our activity is always government first and then private sector follows. So you have that discussion now, which would have come to the fore quite recently within the last five or six years, where they talk about having private sector-led growth.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look historically at how our economy has been, monocrop, and then government would then set a policy, and there was a lot of protectionism and stuff, etc. Then we became very liberalized. Mm-hmm. And out of that same liberalization, Barbados then had to respond. But who does the responding? Who does the action? It is the government who goes out there and negotiates the trade agreements, etc. And because of that, the private sector then followed. And that has been the history of behavior of the private sector in Barbados.
Yeah, that's one.
So they get a little slap when people argue that they're lazy, yeah, and or that they don't move fast enough. But private sector needs to know that they have the security that when they do step, that they have a backing of a government. Because oftentimes it is a lot of risk. Don't think for one moment that a person goes and runs a business and they can go on a feel good. It doesn't work that way. So in one sense. In one sense, I hear you, but I also know that there's always the other flip side to the coin.
Of course, there's always the other side. The other side to that, too, Miss Gere, is that I was listening to a story there where the young girls in St. Lucie, they draw down this $5,000 for the small business. And what they were doing is shops, hair, and nails. That's very good. That's employment, might be for them and their friends. But the thing that I'm more excited about is, when am I going to see more people starting export so that we could get this sort of foreign currency that we are looking at? Because the girls that buy the nails, those things come from overseas. Those things have to pay in U.S. dollars. Now, this is the where I got a problem. We were just talking here the other day about taking Barbados to Suriname, planning things and to bring about the Barbados. There's a cost attached to that. The airfare is very high. Shipping. What ships are we going to bring these vegetables and fruits to the main plant and back from Suriname to Barbados? Do we have the ships to do that?
You also ignore the point of having a market there in Suriname. Then you have farmers who go up. Sorry?
So we're going to plant the things in Suriname and then sell them to people in Suriname, you mean?
That could be one option.
Are we going to sell them in what money?
If you sell them to Surinamese, what are you asking? In what money?
So then you're selling this to the Suriname government, and then you would take that money and then transfer
so
it
So the repatriation of profits is not relevant? You don't think that if a Barbadian company that runs a commercial presence in another country, that the benefit of doesn't come back to
Barbados? I can see things like electronics and those sort of things.
Agroponics, I've got to get
this idea of bring these things or send these things back to Surinamese and that sort of thing. Now, my last thing that I was talking to you when you was on this program is that about the hospital. And I spoke to Dennis Johnson about him on Tuesday. And Dennis Johnson was telling me, well, there's a board that's set up at the hospital to deal with these problems that the hospital is facing at the present moment. Now, this board carries a CEO, right? Mrs. Biner, the CEO?
Ms. Sutherland Bino is the executive chairman of the Queen Elizabeth
chairman.
Hospital.
Right. Now, she reports to the Minister of Health. He, in turn, then reports to the Prime Minister. And then the Prime Minister then reports to the good people of Barbados as what's happening within inside the Ministry of Health. Am I right?
Yeah.
Right. But all the time that they're reporting, I go to the hospital, and then I'm told that I have an appointment on Tuesday at 9 o'clock. I go at 9 o'clock, then to be told, time past 11 o'clock, the doctor made a visit on the ward. He will not be coming in today, and therefore the lady gave me an appointment over the next 6 months. All that time, if I don't have the money, I would come back home. I had a stop for those 6 months. So, although we have this, the executive officer, reporting to the minister, and then he reported to the prime minister, I'm still suffering.
So you're thinking that the movement towards having an executive chairman at the QEH has not redounded to the benefit of the man in the street?
Not as far as I see, because I was there up this last Saturday. I live there to collect some medication for an old lady. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you what I think. You know, Saturdays, they don't have many people there, so I got you early, but this is our event. I'm sure we have this, but we don't have that. We do not know when we go to get this.
This is at the dispensary?
At the QEH. You know, eventually... pardon me? Yes.
Okay.
Eventually, I had to go. I'm lucky that I had money on me and go to a private pharmacy. And those items cost me $300 and some dollars, which I was repaired anyhow. You know, I mean, if you know that you don't bring these things, don't tell me to come back in the next 2 weeks, say you don't carry these things. You understand with me? And I got very vexed and annoyed.
So wouldn't that has to do with the... You're saying it has to do with the executive chairman,
they're saying that they're going to put all these
improved systems, right?
And
the systems haven't been improved because you went to the pharmacy.
No, this is not the first time I've been there. This is years I was going there at that pharmacy, at the hospital. This is now starting yesterday, or starting since the Barbados Day Party came into government. This is a continuing thing that I was experienced for the years that I was attending there.
Right, so I'm just trying to make sure the points are clear.
Mm.
There, you haven't felt as though there has been any significant change with the appointment of the executive chair.
Not so far. Right. I'd be quite honest. Not so far.
Okay.
But
and your data to show this is only because of your visit on Saturday, or are there some other things that you want to speak to?
I can only speak about myself, Miss Bruce. Yeah, I can't speak about nobody else. I speak about my own
right,
experience.
Right, so I'm just simply asking if your experience on Saturday is what brought you to the conclusion that the executive chair is not working.
I can say that.
Okay.
My last thing about the executive chair, mm-hmm. or CEO, we're going back to the classroom. I asked a student some time ago, some young people that were passing, on the red glasses. I asked him what is how would define a CEO?
Define?
Yeah, a CEO. Mm-hmm. I want a young lady told me at the presence of a school teacher there that a CEO is a done performance well paid individual.
Okay.
You get it?
And what was your response to that child?
My response to that child that I called for shorter white rum.
Okay. Good point. Thank you so much. This is Dr. Brass Stats. Dr. Brass Stats, on the first page of Today's Nation, there is a short clip that takes you to page 3, and it talks about EU moves Barbados off the tax listing. And that's a positive we should celebrate. Dr. Brass Stats?
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Well, thank you.
Good. Are you and Ms. Haig or Gail?
Gail.
Gail. Well, I will speak to you too. But I really wanted to ask Ms. Hill a question. But I believe that you will be able to answer me too. Now, here is a fella, 91 year old. I am 91 years old. I am not here to bash no party. You understand what I said?
I heard you.
You hear me?
I can hear you clearly.
Good. I try to ask a particular gentleman how it is that I work for 77 years out of 91, and up to this day, I can only get $244 per week. You understand that, Fida?
Yes.
Good. But this goodly gentleman, the reply he gave me was, the pensioners cannot expect nothing more because it would put a strain on the government's purse. You understand that? I cannot get nothing more. I have to live off of $244. I miscalculated it, and a lady, because of, I think she's the caller, Miss T, she corrected me, and I went back, although I didn't went to school very long, I went back and I got out the figure. It is 244 instead of 144. But this goodly gentleman who becomes very, very fat now, he is telling me the pensioners cannot get no more because it would cause a strain on the government purse. Well, I had to satisfy with that because I didn't have no education, no lot of education, so I can't get neither big job. I got to work on the crumbs that come back from the table. How come there are certain people in this country, because they have education, because they can fit into a big job, can get all of these amendments, such as traveling allowance, entertainment allowance, all kind of allowance, and a fellow that work like me can only live or have to only live off of $244 a week? Can you help me there with that?
I was the one who would have been on the conversation when you called 2 weeks ago.
Thank you.
And you asked for an explanation. You were querying the non-contributory versus the contributory pension.
Uh-huh.
And the response was that there was no justification at the time for the increase in the contributory pension because it would have been a very large ask on the part of the government purse to adjust that. So the adjustment was made to the lower base of the contributory pension, non-contributory pension. And you're now asking the question on why or how could someone operate with that amount it's based on your NIS calculations, whatever you would have worked for over the years, and that then becomes, when it's calculated out, it becomes your pensionable quotient or your pensionable amount.
So
that's what is paid to you. Of course, there are some families do have other assistance, whether it's through family members. Mm-hmm. Some people have savings from other places, different things. And unfortunately, some people have to depend on that alone.
Okay. Could I ask you a question, please?
Sure, you can.
Okay. Just because I didn't pay no big contribution, I can only get that amount. There's no more, nothing more for me because I didn't make a big contribution. That is what you're telling me.
Well, that is applicable to all. Whatever, it is based on your contribution.
It's based on your contribution.
Yes.
But I am still asking the question. Now, I, at 91 years old, have to live off of that amount. And there are people, because they are educated, they have a good job, I didn't get no education. I have to live off the crumbs coming from the table.
Crumbs is a strong word.
Crumbs is a strong word. Anyway.
But I understand your concern. Your concern is that basically.
Listen, there's nothing I can do about it. I only have to pray and ask God to allow me to survive off the $244. Because I have to pay water. I have to pay light. I have to pay TV. Well, it is up to me if I want those things. Either pay them or get rid of them. You understand? Next question. Listen to this one carefully. Did you was able to attend the meeting that the former Prime Minister had in St. Philip last Sunday night?
No, I think that was more for party faithfuls. I'm not a member of any party.
Well, I'm very sorry that he didn't take no questions.
Oh, he didn't?
He didn't take no questions. Some of the press people was there. But my surprise is there were three ministers there in the front bench.
Present ministers?
Yeah. I tried to sit down as close to the podium because I wanted to ask the former Prime Minister some questions. The first thing he told me, or told the audience, he didn't speak before because he was waiting to see how things would pan out. If you read it, or if you would understand, he did not speak before. He was waiting to see how things would pan out. It took 2 years to speak to the nation. Second thing he said, that he didn't buy no, all of that is in the record, you can go back and read it. He didn't buy no buses because he didn't have no money. How come? Can you tell me, you know exactly what is the price of a bus?
No, I don't.
You don't? No. Well, if you find out what is the price, I will come back next. You are Mr. Gale. I will come back next day and explain to you why I asked you that question. Last of all, Mrs. Stewart told that congregation to buy a truck is neither here nor there. You can go back and read it. Your first thing you have to do is to know who you are buying the trucks from, how much they cost, and this thing in the next. A lot of pretty talk. I support the Democratic Labour Party, and I support it from 51 election in St. George. And the gentleman that I came up under, a man called Earl Barra, he was a very, very down-to-earth man. And he won in St. George. Next election, he lost in St. George because his opponent told us, well, you vote for Mr. Barra, go and let Mr. Barra give you manure to put to your canes. And the people threw him away. Because they want manure to put they want free meat. Because the gentleman that ran could kill a whole cow and distribute it between the voters. Because that's all we used to get corned beef and biscuits and some rum. Anyhow, I went to America, and I understand how the political wind was going in Barbados. And after the federal government came about, Mr. Barr went to St. John. And he was successful up there. And I followed Mr. Barr right away along down the line until he died. So much so, some of the same people know that is calling for independence, independence, independence. Mr. Barr sabotaged that man when he went up to England about independence. You can follow the record. You are too young to know that. You can follow the record. To pick up collections, send up a delegation to England to oppose Mr. Barr. I know the same very people. Some of the same people, God, a good set of them dead now, but they have all springs in the government today. Oppose the man that he shouldn't carry Barbados into independence. What I will say is, the lady that is in range of the government, she are troubling her level best to do the best for the country. But I warn her already, and I will warn her again. She had some cohorts with her that she got to keep a very, very stern eye on them. I know what I'm talking about. I was in politics. I went to about 18 general elections and about 11 by elections, and I know what I am talking about. If you can find out what is the price of a bus when it is well equipped, it may come down in price.
This is the typical transport board bus that can hold 25 or 40 people.
Yes, okay. Because Stuart said he didn't buy no buses because he didn't have no money.
I'm going to thank you for your call, and I'm going to do that homework for you. Thank you so much. Down to brass tacks.
Good morning to Ms. Gill.
Hi, good morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing well, thanks.
I want to, before I go into my main subject matter, I want to extend, I don't know if you've seen Wednesday's paper, you might be a little bit too young to relate to, Lewis Curtin, Managing Director of Furniture Company. Perhaps he's passed, but one of the things that I probably would want to say that he was at a time when furniture in this island, the pioneer of furniture, he was one of the people, Lewis Curtin. Young man from the area of West Bay, and I want to extend condolence to his family and to relate to people that, as a Barbadian, that he has made a substantial contribution to the development of Barbados furniture industry over the years. Now, my reason for calling this morning, subject to the fact that I have discovered that you get results from the calling program. And that is why whenever I call the call-in program, I call the call-in program with issues that will get results. You're one of the people I spoke to in the lead-up to the situation that I'm going to talk about. Now, remember I spoke to you about beach access?
Yes.
On the West Coast and on the South Coast?
Yes.
And I refer to the situation of certain areas of the beach being knocked out for the average person. And they went on to establish that it is time that there be an understanding between the Ministry of Housing and Lands and the Ministry of the Environment. I am pleased this morning to pick up yesterday's paper to realize that there is a concern, beach access worry for Payne and Prescott. So somewhere along the line coming out of the calling program, because if you read the body matter, you will realize that their concern came out of some of the things that were raised within the call-in program in terms of access to the beach and the blocking out of certain areas along the South and West Coast. What I am amused about, having read Mr. Payne and then having read the Minister Prescott, somewhere along the line, I can't anticipate that in this day and age that what you said, and I don't want to go over it, but I think people could read it and see for themselves. This idea of playing stack up fiddle to developers can't work. This idea, yes, we need the development, but we also need to understand that as far as Barbados Development Concern that it should be for the benefit of the Barbadians and people in general. I am of the opinion that there have to be an understanding of a legislative position in terms of the beach use by developers. And so that government will not come up with this idea of leasing any land to any developer who eventually will do the same thing that I read was done on Bay Street. Whether you give them a 50-year lease, whether you give them a 100-year lease, or whether you give them, I believe that the laws govern access to the beach as far as all people are concerned should be coming from the legislative council and should be law of the country. And that nobody should have the right to believe that between the beach, water edge, and between the area that they have ownership. So when Mr. Prescott made a statement, and anybody could read what Mr. Prescott said, that I am not in favor of that, sir. I am in favor of the fact that this leasing can't work. I am in belief that government has got to put legislation in place and legislation in place to protect, because, as he said, that government cannot be bullied into certain situations. But let me continue at this point to understand clearly where I'm going. I believe the problem can be solved. That is to say that...
The problem of allowing for beach access can be solved.
If we can survey property and we can establish our landmarks and line of sight between properties, then I believe that government has access to land surveyors and government has access to these type of people, and so the amount of money can be spent within that area to arrive at the laws to protect people. And that is to say that between the water edge and between the fall of land, I don't think people could have a right to claim sand. Property owners are claiming sand, and that's not fair. So I believe that somewhere along the line that there should be a severe by land surveyors where there is a point-to-point in terms of government ownership and what is owned by the developer or owned by the person who leased the property. This would mean that, as far as that is concerned, you will know that you cannot own the sand. You cannot claim the sand. You can actually have what can be considered as the vine running along the beach all along as far as land is concerned. But between the water and that, people have already started to claim to feel within themselves that they have access to the beach. And I'm asking that when the ministers sit down, all of those who have beachfront land in their constituency, all of those who are responsible to their constituents, that somewhere around it understand that leasing is not going to solve the problem. That governments have some guidelines in terms of use of beach land, use of beachfront, and that guidelines could only be introduced as far as the laws are concerned.
Okay.
So I want to compliment Starcom for having aired these issues over the last couple of weeks. And I also want to compliment the two ministers who I asked that they come together and have an understanding as far as that issue is concerned. But having read what Minister Prescott said, I think we need to go back to the drawing board in order to solve the problems that have existed from as far back as Fire Hatch, from as far back where Windows to the Sea, property ownership has taken priority over access to the beach. And I don't believe we can continue in this developing age scale. In this developing age, I do not believe that we could play ad hoc to this situation. So I would want that somewhere along the line that government look at the possibility of introducing the severe land surveyor aspect from point to point on the beach. Understand fully that nobody land sand becomes the government property. And nobody can claim the sand and come and put down coconut trees or lime trees or stools just for the sake of putting down in that area. But between the land line and the road, this is your property, because truthfully speaking, the survey shows that is your lot, that is your property. But between the fall of the beach on the land, then I think this should be an established that government owns that position. I stopped to hear opinion from you because I just want just about another 5 or 10 seconds to finish.
No, I hear you. I always like to get different pieces of feedback on perspectives. And I went back in my thoughts just a little while ago to the reason for the penning of the song "That Beach Is Mine." And a lot of it has to do with the same issues that you're raising now. And, you know, the Barbados that we live in, whilst we can appreciate and accept that persons will own beachfront properties, the issue is whether the locals are disadvantaged for beach use. And that has become a real bugbear for a lot of persons. And whether or not there's proper legislation that can speak to what is allowed, what is not allowed, so that the locals are clear, the persons who own the property or the potential investors are clear, then we would all be in a good place.
Well, I want to show you the laws of the coastal zone. I don't know if you're aware that sometime back our 4x4s used to find themselves up and down the beach.
Yep. And I think that's what, and even as you were speaking, I thought of the reason for the smaller entrances, and that is really to deter the possibility of a vehicle coming to and from. People do take advantage of some things. They take a mile when they're really given just a meter.
That's right. That's right. No. Along the same line we're actually talking, I know that even in the school system, parents would like to drive into the classroom and drop off the children. Yeah. There's a known fact.
They would like to drive into the classroom?
Because somewhere along the and drive out. If you check the schools in Barbados, have not put security guards at the schools, a lot of parents become angry when the security guards stop them and ask that the child be dropped off at the door, because their intention is to drive right into the schoolyard.
Interesting you said that, Mark, simply because only yesterday I was parked at my son's school waiting for collection, and I saw some parents come in. And I thought of, you know, they come right in and they drive in and they pick up their child, etc. And I thought, what about a drive-in, just like how you have the normal drive-in for Chiffet, drive-in child. I'm serious. And now you came the following day to say that parents would like to drive into the classroom. Going a little further. Very, very interesting you would say that.
Mr. Johnson could go back to refer to the fact that many years ago, he scolded me on a matter at the Lofoten school. And I would always remember that. That opened my eyes. But this access to beach and wanted to drive onto the sand and wanted... I'm in agreement with you that this cannot be allowed, but there must be beach access. Now, take, for example, in closing, when you look at the beach at Bay Street and you look at the NCC has a beach facility there, the car park can only hold X amount of cars. I believe that there's a property to the right that goes down that is up for sale. I believe that government has the right to acquire that property to make the parking facilities for the Bay Street area more available. And the restriction that I now see at Bay Street, we cannot talk about having the beach for the use of people. We cannot talk about having a situation where people want to drive to the families drive to the beach. And when we have land sitting down there to build something and so on, I believe that government must be aware, and I'm appealing to the minister responsible for land, and I'm also appealing to the minister responsible for that constituency, Mr. Kirk, that land should be acquired by government. And the purpose of that is to extend the car park on Bay Street for the benefit of people who want to access Browns Beach. Now, obviously, you could access Browns Beach from there, and you could walk from as far as Grand Bay, Radisson, all the way down to Fort Willoughby in terms of having access to the beach. So this is how I see it. I don't see access to the beach, Ms. Gale, that you should quarrel as far as a pedestrian is concerned. I believe a pedestrian interest should always be available, mm-hmm. and that pedestrians should have access to go onto the beach before having any rejection. So I'm appealing, and I'm happy this morning that the ministers have seen and have listened to the radio, because part of the column said that the calling programs are dated with calls. So I'm asking that there be a sit down. and an understanding as far as beachfront properties are concerned, and that government don't play a second fiddle to lease and to people who, in truth and fact, don't care. They just want to use the word ownership.
Okay.